The next coach on the teleconference is Nebraska's Bo Pelini. The Cornhuskers are 1-1 in conference play and 5-1 overall, and ranked number 21 in both the AP and Amway coaches polls. Nebraska has a bye on Saturday before returning to action at Northwestern on October 18th. Coach, thank you for joining us. If you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll open up the call for questions from the media.
Yeah, well, we're went back to work on Sunday, and we're going to get back on the practice field today, and then you know, get some work in this week, get some rest, try to get some guys that are nicked up healed up, and then get ready for Northwestern. So I'll open it up.
Thanks, Coach. We'll go ahead and take questions at this time.
If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Sean Callahan with HuskerOnline.com.
Yeah, Coach, a couple guys went down Saturday. Do you have any updates on Daniel Davey and Kenny Bell? I mean, obviously, Seathan Carter was out on Saturday. Do you have an update status on him?
Seathan's out for a couple weeks. Daniel Davey and Kenny Bell should be ready for Northwestern.
And then when you went back and watched it, you guys did a lot of line substituting your first five games. What held you guys back from maybe rotating in some of those guys you had been playing a lot on the offensive line in the first five games?
The feel for how the game was, and, you know, that's up to the, you know, Coach Garrison and the offense, and he went with what he thought gave us the best chance to win.
When you had a chance to look at the offensive line film, anything more jump out than what you already said on Saturday?
No, we didn't play well enough.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian Christofferson with the Lincoln Journal Star.
Hey Bo, could you get Brandon Riley back for Northwestern? Is he to that point yet?
We're anticipating that he'll be back.
Okay, and the roles of Pearson L and Moore and Tariq Allen have kind of grown with the injuries to others. What's your message or kind of your biggest challenge to those guys as you go to the second half of the season?
Just keep growing and keep getting better and working, which they are, and you know, I think they'll continue to get better as the season goes on, and they keep getting more reps. I think Zoe has played well all year. He's done a lot of good things. He's still a young player, but I think he's getting better. And Pearson L, we got to continue to expand his package as he becomes more confident and more ready for an expanded role.
How well did Trevor Roach play Saturday night when you watched it back? And what can he give the team going forward?
Well, Trevor's a good player. He did some good things. He did some things he'd want back, but he made some nice plays and was around the football and made some plays that he should make, and missed a few plays he could have made, but ultimately he played pretty good.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Sam McEwen with Omaha World Herald.
Hey, Bo. Did you get a clarification from your center and Tommy about what the disparity was between the snaps and why they were struggling with that the second half?
There were a couple times when the opposing team clapped, and our center heard a clap and so he snapped the football.
Is that something that you turn that?
That's something I'll talk to the league office about.
Okay. When you follow up on the offensive line for a second, now that hindsight's 2020, but you've had a couple of days to look at it, in terms of an evaluation, did you draw any conclusions about that line play, and do you feel like there could have been more of a rotation or different players that were given a chance to play on Saturday who did not?
Possibly. Like you say, hindsight's 2020, but you know, ultimately, the reason why we struggled was, I mean, it comes back to technique, and there were some things that we did uncharacteristically technique-wise. When we were supposed to track, we didn't track. There were a number of things we didn't do well. When there were a couple of times they gave us an obvious look that we had practiced and we were supposed to make a call, and we didn't make that call. So it makes everybody look bad. But the guy who's responsible saw it and didn't make the call. Like I said, we did some things that, at times were hard to explain when we watched the film. But You know, that's something that obviously we as a staff didn't coach well enough or didn't get across, and we need to get better.
Finally, one of the offensive linemen talked after the game about how there wasn't a lot of tempo early in the game from your offense, but by the end of the game, you guys were using an up-tempo, and that seemed to be successful. Was there a concerted idea to go into the game and kind of slow the tempo down? And if so, why? Or was that not the goal, and that's just what turned out to happen?
Well, I thought we could have played with better tempo early on. I thought they were standing over the ball and marking the ball because it was wet very late because they were, whatever, I guess they were trying to dry the football off. Which really were times we were ready to go. We weren't when you didn't play with tempo. When it wasn't ready to be snapped, and they were lined up, you know, we went a little bit slower to kind of get us into the right play. So there's a lot to it.
Your next question comes from the line of Teddy Greenstein with Chicago Tribune.
Hey, Bo, just wondering, what is the rule? I mean, are defensive players not allowed to clap or to do something that, you know, purposely throws off the offense?
Yeah, the rule that you can't do anything that intentionally that is to signify simulate a snap count. And it didn't happen a lot, but it happened a few times. And, you know, that isn't the first time it ever happened. And the first time, Michigan State isn't the first team to ever do that. But, you know,
you would hope it would get caught.
You would hope that they would catch it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it went past it. When you make an adjustment to make sure that doesn't happen again, you got to make sure we're on the same page.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jonathan Schott with Spartan Nation.
Coach, everyone knows your commitment to player safety. After Armstrong came out but was cleared to go back in, was that a rallying point for your team Saturday night?
I don't know if it was a rallying point. We had confidence in the guy that went into the game, but, you know, Tommy felt fine. And, you know, the trainers clearly came over and told me he was cleared to go and he was feeling good. And, you know, I thought Tommy came in that situation and really, you know, helped rally us and, you know, played hard. Tommy played hard in the game. You know, he made some mistakes, but boy, he played with tremendous effort and did a lot of good things in the football game.
And Coach, there's playoff talk around this sport from all the way week one. Do you feel like playoff talk this early, this often, is that going to threaten to take something away from the regular and conference season play in college football as a whole?
I believe it is. I don't believe it's a real good thing because it almost started in the preseason. And, you know, there's a lot of football that needs to be played and a lot of things can happen. And I mean, it's almost irrelevant at this point, some of the talk that happens, because there's too much football to be played and too many things that can happen. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think that's going to change. You know, I mean, it's almost like an obsession.
Coach, thank you very much for your time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks.
All right.